Mark, for you.
Yeah, I know you guys are busy. Oh, we have active ones at 87 Durso, 200 Bailey.
There's multiple fires all over town. There's a major gas leak. I would say evacuate the building. We will get there when we can.
Which location would you like me to respond to?
The other one definite is 87 Durso.
79 Durso we got.
There should be something on the side of your house. You can shut your gas off to the house. From the outside?
We're so busy. It's crazy.
Evacuate the home, and if they have an opportunity to shut the gas down, do that as well.
Yeah.
Call the gas company for me.
We already had somebody doing
okay.
That.
Unfortunately, I don't have anybody to send to you.
Okay. So I should just turn it off and evacuate my house immediately.
Fire in the Valley, a podcast from WGBH News.
Firefighters and police officers in Massachusetts are rushing to the towns of Lawrence and Andover tonight. Dozens of houses have exploded into flames, apparently connected to a problem with the gas. Lawrence General Hospital says it is treating fire victims and people are being told to evacuate, which has led to gridlock and traffic jams. Maggie Penman of member station WGBH joins us from Andover. And Maggie, the images that I'm seeing on TV are hard to fathom. What are you seeing where you are?
So where I am in Andover's town center is actually pretty eerie.
WGBH reporter Maggie Penman took an Uber to the Merrimack Valley.
So it's kind of like a ghost town. All the windows are dark. All the businesses are closed. And there have been a lot of people trying to get out of town. A lot of people wandering around.
She took an Uber to the biggest natural gas incident in modern history.
There were as many as 100 fires burning. No one is quite sure what the cause was. It seems to have been a problem with the local gas provider. And basically anyone who has gas service in their home in these communities has been told to leave their home. So
Maggie is the first of three WGBH radio reporters to make their way from the newsroom in Boston to Lawrence, Andover, and North Andover in the late afternoon of Thursday, September 13th, 2018. When she leaves, all she knows is that things are exploding and on fire.
It was total chaos on the highway, and there were several exits that were closed, which only added to the traffic and the chaos, because basically the emergency response teams were trying to prevent people from coming into these communities and also simultaneously get people out of them. So it was total chaos, tons of traffic. Basically,
I headed up there right away, and I was reading on my phone as I was in the back of this car on my way there. It just seemed so mysterious and insane. I had never heard about anything like this. As I was on my way there, it just was so not clear exactly what was happening or why. And I think there was a part of me that was a little scared because I just had no idea what I was walking into.
A series of gas explosions that have damaged homes across three communities north of Boston. The problem is apparently with gas lines that feed homes in Andover, North Andover, and Lawrence.
As they travel, Maggie and her Uber driver listen to the radio.
The area after multiple suspected gas explosions, there are reports of neighborhoods being evacuated. Authorities say that people in Lawrence, North Andover, and Andover.
At some point, the driver raises a question.
Should exit those homes.
I think as we kind of got closer, he was sort of like, okay, I'm listening to this and listening to what's happening. It doesn't seem like we should be going there.
Maggie knows essentially as much as everyone else, and that isn't much. Just the horrifying images of billowing smoke and burning buildings captured by news helicopters. It's Maggie's job to get to the Merrimack Valley and tell people what's happening. She's driving to one of the most important stories of her career.
I think it was the first time in my career where I've been like, is this a good idea? Should I be going? Because at that point, we just had no concept of how extensive the gas leak was. Like, no one knew. And it was a very surreal feeling to be walking into something and to have no idea. I think there is an adrenaline that kicks in. I feel like the whole night that I was out there, I just had adrenaline pumping through my body because you're just sort of like, okay, this is like a once in a lifetime kind of situation. It's not something that happens. And to be out there covering it and telling people what's going on, it feels really, really important, but definitely really scary.
Back in the WGBH newsroom, producers and reporters are gathering facts and writing newscasts and web copy. As the seriousness of the situation becomes even more clear, assignments are made. Not long after Maggie, two more WGBH reporters start heading north to Merrimack Valley. One of them is Craig Lamolt.
So Maggie went first. I was at my desk and watching these fires on all the TV monitors. And at some point I realized this is not going to be a one reporter story. So I hopped in the car and I started driving up there, and I hit a lot of traffic. Especially as I got close, the traffic was terrible.
That's because people were evacuating, and they would be for hours.
Yes, and my house is, and there's a house, two houses down that had the same problem.
Yeah, we're aware of it. There's a major, major gas leak, multiple fires all over town. I would say evacuate, and we will get there when we can.
107 just caught fire, too.
107 Pleasant. I would say evacuate as far as you can.
The incident started around 4 o'clock. Explosions in homes and businesses throughout the three communities because of an overpressurized gas line. That overpressurized line was shut down about 20 minutes after the first fire, but the critical valves of the region's natural gas system will remain open for 3 more hours. Those critical valves were not closed until 7:24 that night, shutting down the entire system.
We are following the situation in Lawrence, North Andover, and Andover, where multiple explosions and fires have been reported. Authorities believe it was due to gas lines. 70 separate incidents reported at this point, according to the state police. Authorities say that anyone who gets gas in their home or business in the affected community should evacuate. Officials in Lawrence are asking all residents of South Lawrence to evacuate, whether they are gas customers or not. In Andover, those who must evacuate can head to the senior center at 30.
As people try to escape, WGBH reporters Craig and Maggie try to get closer. Maggie goes to Andover, where fire officials are expected to give a briefing at the firehouse there. Craig goes to Lawrence.
When I left the newsroom and started headed up there, all we knew were there was a bunch of fires. And I think that in an instance like that, your mind automatically goes to the natural gas system, right? Like, what other thing connects all of these houses?
As he gets closer to the city, Craig isn't sure exactly where to go. He stops at the Andover Senior Center.
I went to the senior center they were using as an evacuation center, and I walked in and started talking to the people who were there. And right away, I was hearing from people who had had fires in their own home. There was one woman who said that there was smoke in their house, and they opened the basement door, and they went down, and their furnace was on fire. And they put it out with a fire extinguisher.
The resident Craig meets is Camille Wilkins.
We had our furnace catch on fire in flames, and we opened the cellar door. It was total smoke. My husband had a fire extinguisher, went downstairs, put it out. We called the fire.
And then this guy named Don Bradley pulled me aside, and he showed me a map.
So here's 495. And so 495 separates Andover from Lawrence for the most part. That's the border.
And he started pointing out to me where all of the fires were, and we started trying to piece out what the affected area was. And he had a really good sense of it, and he sort of talked me through where this was really happening.
The most number of explosions, based on the state trooper's map, are right in this southern part of Lawrence. And there's several explosions over here across 133 and through Andover, according to what we're hearing. That's that big cluster there.
Andover resident Don Bradley walks Craig through what is happening and where.
So it's in this area is where the big amounts are. So Danny Rivera, the mayor of Lawrence, is telling everybody to go to North Lawrence, get away from this area. Mm-hmm. And we're down here, everybody's saying, get south.
Which is Main Street, though, is it, as I go out?
I'll show you.
Okay,
I'll walk you out.
All right, thanks.
But before Craig leaves, Don Bradley wants to tell him his story.
And the other thing, they told us personally to turn our gas off ourselves in our house. So I'm a senior citizen now. I know I don't look like a John, right?
No, you look good.
So other neighbors are older. So we're down in the cellar with flashlights and pliers trying to turn the damn gas off. I mean, that's risky in itself. And so, I mean, it was a terrifying thing. And you're watching all these explosions going off. And another station was talking about you could see the explosions from the satellites, from the weather satellites. And have you seen the trucks? We got Everett here, Wilmington. That's the Chelmsford SWAT team out there in the hallway. Everybody's here. I mean, this is a, FEMA should be involved, right? Where are you going to put those 80 families tonight? And when can we go home, right? When can I go home?
One thing Craig hears while at the senior center is that one of the schools just up the road is on fire. That's Craig's next stop.
Then when I got in my car and I started driving, I passed this place where there were a ton of fire trucks and all kinds of ambulances and all sorts of equipment. And I stopped and I got out of the car and I ran to what was the middle school. And I asked somebody, basically, is this on fire? And it was being used as a staging area. It wasn't a fire. And I think it was, to me, it was actually a really good lesson that these things that you hear, you do really need to verify and check before you say anything in a story on the air, because, like, yeah, people had seen a ton of emergency vehicles at the middle school and assumed, oh, that's on fire too, but no, it was just being used as a staging area.
In the newsroom, to keep track of what information is confirmed and what can be used online and on air, WGBH investigative editor Paul Singer starts a document with all the information that's reportable. Facts and description gathered and confirmed by WGBH journalists. If it isn't on the document, it doesn't go on air or on the web.
The WGBH radio newsroom in Boston.
As Craig and Maggie travel, WGBH editor Aaron Schachter is on the air.
In Lawrence, North Andover, and Andover, where multiple explosions and fires have been reported. Authorities believe it is due to gas lines. 39 incidents reported at this point, according to officials. They say that anyone who gets gas in their home or business...
I know that Aaron was hosting ATC for the day.
Soraya Wintersmith is one of the reporters working that afternoon.
An alternate shelter is open at Wilmington.
And I remember getting online and seeing what the Andover police say, what the Lawrence police say, and then trying to feed those Twitter links with a little bit of radio paraphrasing to Aaron for each hit he was doing. I remember that after a couple of those...
Soon, Soraya is sent to Lawrence General Hospital, where it's expected casualties would be treated.
I went off to the hospital. I was thinking a lot as I was driving. I had never gone toward explosions before, like shootings or police shootings or fires. I had awareness of who to look for and what to ask. But a hospital in an emergency situation, I didn't know what I was going to expect, so I was really nervous. Also, on the way up there, the officials had decided to turn off a lot of the lights. And so for long stretches of road, it was just the light of my car.
Officials shut off all the electricity in the area to lessen the likelihood of natural gas finding an ignition source and sparking an explosion.
I remember coming up on a turn and seeing that it was blocked off. I drove up to a police officer who was attempting to guide traffic. And sometimes if you show people your badge and say, I'm media, like, is there a safe staging area where I can go so I can inform people? And he said, no, there are active fires down the street. You can't go this way. That's another thing that had never happened before. So I had to ignore my GPS and go by his verbal directions, a route around the street to get to the hospital.
Like Craig, Soraya faces all sorts of traffic. And that traffic, with its road closures and congestion, causes a lot of problems for a lot of people.
Are you in town? Like, is the police officers blocking you from getting through?
Well, I'm on 133 approaching Joshine Square, I'm sure. But I'm in a line.
All I can tell you is that if you just let them know that you're trying to get to your mother's house to get her out of there, they should let you through.
Emergency dispatch centers are flooded with calls from people worried about their homes, their pets, and their loved ones, but not able to get to them. As the night goes on, the calls about explosions and fires become less frequent. But the number of calls, the crush of them, keeps on. They reflect the mood of the community.
There's 4 gas meters in my basement at 54 Gilbert Street. They've never been shut off. because nobody could get in there, and we had all evacuated.
I've been calling my wife, and she's not answering. And okay. There's some explosions in the area.
My mom's 88, and the dog are home. I'm just leaving Burlington Hospital right now.
I'm not aware that all the roads are blocked. Okay.
I can't even get home now because all the exits to there are closed.
You smell gas, ma'am?
No, okay. I'm not at home.
Okay.
We're on fire.
I'm not home. I understand that the town is under evacuation because there's multiple gas explosions and I have pets in the house, and I want to know if it's affecting my address.
If you do come up to a roadblock, speak to the officer that's there. Explain to them what you're trying to do and why.
I do not smell gas, but I'm watching all the coverage on TV.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering if I'm okay.
Yeah, you're okay if you don't smell gas. 911, this line's recorded. What's the address emergency?
Yes, sir. There's an emergency. It's only a question.
Okay, you can't call 911 with a question. I'm sorry. We don't have time to take this right now. If you don't have an emergency, you can't call 911.
You're just trying to be precautious so we don't get killed.
It's important to look at the timing of all this. In total, 21 people, including two firefighters, were transported to hospitals, and one person died during the disaster. Another person died in the days that followed, but it was not the mass casualty event it could have been. The timing matters. At Lawrence General Hospital, a doctor makes this point to Soraya.
The emergency medicine doctor did say, because it happened in the afternoon, there was a lot less pain and destruction than might have happened in the middle of the night when people were in their homes sleeping.
Or even a few hours later making dinner. Around all those stoves. So this was about four o'clock when the...
We do know that 10 people are being treated for injuries at Lawrence General Hospital at this point. Here is Chief Dr. George Condalis.
We had the resources of multiple trauma surgeons, multiple anesthesiologists. We had multiple surgeons who arrived from home just hearing what had happened, knowing that they could lend assistance. It ranged from folks in-house who were able to mobilize and come down and assist with the emergency department, nursing, respiratory staff.
We're going now to our reporter who has been at Lawrence General Hospital. Hey, Soraya, what are you seeing there?
Hi, Aaron. I'm in front of the main entrance here where just a short time ago you heard the chief of emergency medicine saying that they have treated about 10 people. One distinction we want to make clear, he said that one of those people was in critical condition and was transported elsewhere. Another person in serious condition remains here at the hospital. The eight others have injuries ranging from minor smoke inhalation to shrapnel wounds from being around when blasts occurred. And as he was describing their staff, you heard in that piece earlier, he said that they have tripled their staff, but then a matter of a half hour after the first call came in earlier this afternoon. He also tells WGBH all hands are still on deck. That means multiple medical personnel are prepared to treat anyone who may still be making their way to the hospital, as this is an ongoing situation.
And you heard earlier today the Andover chief call the situation like Armageddon or like a war zone.
I've been in the fire service for almost 39 years, and I've never seen anything like this in my entire career. To sum it up, it looked like Armageddon.
That's Andover Fire Chief Michael Mansfield.
There was a smoke coming from Lawrence behind.
For her part, Soraya remains at her post at Lawrence General Hospital, staying in touch with the newsroom and listening to her WGBH colleagues who are feeding information both back to Boston and to Washington, D.C., where NPR headquarters is located.
I listened to Maggie on the radio talking to the big network because I believe she was first on the scene. I didn't communicate directly with Maggie or Craig, but I believe they were at the emergency shelter centers that had opened that evening.
From member station WGBH, Maggie Penman reports the towns are Andover, North Andover, and Lawrence.
Thousands of people were told to evacuate and power was cut to prevent more fires. Andover Fire Chief Michael Mansfield said his town looked like Armageddon.
It just looked like an absolute war zone and something that I've never experienced in my fire service career, and hopefully I don't have to experience it ever again.
Shelters have been opened for displaced people. Local, state, and federal authorities are investigating the cause of the fires.
In Andover, Maggie spends the night covering press conferences and interviewing frightened residents. People are stunned, and they have stories to tell.
Harrowing stories. I remember one woman who I spoke with. She lived right around the corner from the house where a young man was killed, and she had been home with her son, and it was a hot day, and she was upstairs, and her son was like, "Mom, why do you have the gas fireplace on?" And she was like, "What? I didn't turn that on." And then she went downstairs, and it was fully roaring in the fireplace. And that's when she and her son were like, "Something is wrong." And he had the wherewithal to run downstairs and turn off their gas, and they got out of the house. But as we know now, there, you know, was a significant and deadly explosion just a few houses down. So I think the first night people didn't realize the magnitude of what would end up being a months-long journey for a lot of them to, you know, get back into their homes, get their power back, get their gas back. And people just didn't know how scared to be.
For many people, it's the first of many nights in the dark.
The thing that I remember most about being out there is how dark it was because a lot of the electricity had been cut. And you just don't see town centers entirely dark. Like, it's just not a thing I'd ever really experienced before to be in the middle of a town square. It was mostly empty where I was because people had been told to leave. And all the businesses were closed and had their lights out, and all of the apartment buildings and houses in the area had their lights out, and it was just eerily quiet, and it just felt like being in a ghost town.
Back in the WGBH newsroom, reporter Mary Blake reaches out to people who work in the natural gas industry to see if they can offer insight into what's happening. To the experts, the answer's obvious.
This call is being recorded.
Okay, Mark, just for my recording level purposes, your name and title?
It's Mark McDonald.
Even before any official announcement, what Mark McDonald tells Mary would prove to be true. Overpressurization in the gas lines.
How would you like me to introduce you?
Yeah, I'm the owner of Nat Gas Consulting, a natural gas expert.
What do you make of this situation?
Well, I mean, it's pretty unprecedented. I've investigated well over 100 gas explosions in the past 6 years. This is unprecedented. It's a major catastrophe. It all points to an overpressurization of the system, which essentially the gas pressure that, you know, arrives at our homes, at our gas appliances, is controlled. And there is higher pressure that is needed to move the gas to get it to Massachusetts. And what it entails is again, very high pressure gas, hundreds, thousands of pounds. And it's reduced along the way once it gets to Massachusetts. And then once it gets to the gas company, it's further reduced. But then once it gets to your neighborhood, there are what's called district regulator stations that are underground. Most people don't even know they exist. But it reduces it down to a quarter of 1 pound, which is, again, what we use safely in our homes. And it's critical because if you, for some reason, the gas, the high-pressure gas mixed in with our typically low-pressure lines, you'd have what we're seeing right now, which is multiple explosions, fires, randomly. You know, not every home is affected, but, you know, the ones that are, unfortunately, had the perfect gas mixture and ignition source to cause an explosion and fire.
That was going to be my question, the randomness of it. I mean, you see some of the aerial views, and one, you know, home is just engulfed. The other two were next to them are just sitting there.
It's strictly by luck, and there's no better way to say it. And essentially, for gas to explode, it needs three things. It needs natural gas, it needs air, and it needs an ignition source. But the gas has to be the right mixture. If it's too lean, if there's not enough gas, like under 5%, or if it's too rich, over 15%, if there's too much gas in the home, even with an ignition source, it will not ignite. So my guess is a lot of these homes had too much gas, where even when they found an ignition source, it could not ignite. So they're lucky, and lucky is a bad word to use in this example, but essentially that's why it's the luck of the draw in this situation, and not every single home is affected. It really has to have almost a perfect storm mixture of natural gas, air, and the proper ignition source.
Meet over at the Showcase Cinema parking lot.
Okay, so Showcase Cinema.
Across the street from the Showcase Cinema. Right across where Denny's is.
At a little before 9 o'clock, Governor Charlie Baker and other officials hold the first press conference of the evening. WGBH reporter Craig LaMolt and the rest of the press gather at Showcase Cinemas in Lawrence. The movie complex is now the Lawrence Command Center.
This is still very much an active scene. There'll be plenty of time later tonight, tomorrow morning, and into the next day to do some of the work around determining exactly what happened and why. But the focus in the short term is to make sure that we do everything we can to provide shelter for people who need shelter, to provide safety in the communities that have been directly affected by this, and to speak with the folks at Columbia to make sure that everything we're doing and they're doing is going to ensure that these communities remain safe overnight and into tomorrow. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mayor Rivera.
There aren't a whole lot of answers. Essentially, officials like Lawrence Mayor Dan Rivera remind people they need to evacuate.
First and foremost, be clear that things that happened in Lawrence today happened south of the river. So if you live south of the river, you should have evacuated. If you live north of the river, right now there have not been any incidences, despite you might smell gas or I've heard of something different. There is no issues north of the river. We're asking people that have not yet evacuated, please evacuate to the north.
A few hours later, Craig covers a second press conference. By this time, most people realize they're not going home tonight.
Fires burned across Andover, North Andover, and Lawrence on Thursday evening. An 18-year-old was killed in Lawrence when a chimney fell on his car after a nearby house exploded, and dozens more were injured. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker says...
The press conference lasts about 20 minutes. Governor Charlie Baker speaks first.
Obviously, today's incidents have been traumatic for the people of Lawrence and North Andover and Andover. We are all especially heartbroken to learn of the death of Leo Rondon. Thankfully, neighbors helped neighbors. Police, fire, and our first responders jumped into action quickly. Local, state, and federal partners...
Baker tells reporters that teams of three people, a Columbia gas technician, a police officer, and a firefighter, will go house to house, shutting off gas meters and checking for trapped natural gas throughout buildings.
I've made clear to the utility company they must immediately bring in additional resources and develop a comprehensive safety inspection plan for each of these communities. We're assisting the utility by bringing in support from other utility companies as we speak.
The press wants to know how many people are out of their homes. Kurt Schwartz of the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency runs down the numbers.
And is there any timeline for their return to their homes?
So what we know now is, again, it's 8,000 meters are impacted. Again, at this point, we don't have an answer yet, a reentry time. We'll continue to provide information and push this forward. There was somewhere between 60 and 80 fires, structure fires across the three communities, at least three explosions as well.
The press also wants to know, where's Columbia Gas?
What is Columbia Gas doing right now? Why are they not out?
Columbia Gas, as the governor said earlier, Columbia Gas is here. They have been here from the start of the incident. They are engaged and working. What are they doing now? As you heard the governor say, some 80 service technicians have already deployed into the three communities to begin the process of inspecting 8,000 meters.
Lawrence Mayor Dan Rivera wants to answer the question about Columbia Gas. Soon Rivera will emerge as Columbia Gas's fiercest critic. For now, he tries to redirect the press.
I want to just answer that question too. Again, this is very important because they have to get with a firefighter and a police officer from each community, go door to door, go into the homes, shut off the meter, read if there's gas in the place. That stuff is meticulous. It's got to be done right. And then before we let people back in, they got to make sure all that stuff is tight and that there's no more gas leaking in the homes. And so we're going to make sure that people stay on task. You guys have plenty of time to ask those questions that you're dying to ask about what happened and why it happened. Trust me, we want those answers too. But right now, the focus is on getting to every home and making it safe.
And right now, what can you tell us about what caused this and how to prevent it next time?
Again, right now, the focus is every house, go in there, shut the gas off, make it safe so people can back in their house as soon as possible.
Some people can't go home, so they go to friends and family outside the affected area. They go to hotels and motels, some offering a free room for anyone forced out of their homes. And people go to shelters. Schools and senior centers across the region are supplied with cots to sleep on and food to serve. Many people sleep in their cars. And as the night moves closer to the light of morning, reporters Craig, Soraya, and Maggie make their way home. Craig gets in his car knowing he'll be back in Lawrence in about 6 or so hours. Soraya has a car to take her home too. But Maggie, as I told you, she came in an Uber.
I think maybe it was around midnight or 1 a.m. when I had the first moment of kind of coming off the adrenaline and being like, okay, I'm in the middle of nowhere. It's dark. People have been evacuated from their homes. Is there even going to be a way for me to get out of here? And there was no internet or cell service anywhere that I was. I mean, the thing that I was shocked by is that even at the end of the night, I was able to get someone to come pick me up. Like, I could find an Uber at 2 in the morning or whatever time I finally left. And I was talking to the guy who picked me up, and he was like, yeah, you know, I feel like there's more reason for me to be out here because people might need to go somewhere, and like, I want to help them. So I thought that was really nice. He was really taking it as like a public service kind of thing.
As the three WGBH reporters head home, the residents of Andover, North Andover, and Lawrence, who try to sleep in shelters and in cars, toss and turn as they consider how their lives have changed in such a short amount of time. And as they try to rest, teams of first responders go home to home, building to building, shutting off some 8,000 gas meters in the dark of night. No one knows if this thing is over. In our next episode, the sun rises on the Merrimack Valley as people survey what's happened and face an uncertain future.
What you're seeing here are our neighbors just coming to pick up medical supplies if they need to, if they have pets, animals, to bring them to make sure they're okay. But we're not, at this point, at this hour, we're not looking for people to come back. They can't drive back. You cannot get into this area. If you are anywhere outside of the South Lawrence area, it's just almost essentially a blockade.
I'm Sean Corcoran. This is Fire in the Valley, and the story continues in Episode 3.
Trusted. Local. News that makes you think. You're listening to 89.7 WGBH, WGBH HD1 Boston, online at wgbhnews.org. Boston's local NPR.